and action. Who's plus 31?
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
That bullshit. They are my opinions. That's me, Shauna, and my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlin's ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Also, please don't do anything that these stupid people do in this video or this podcast. Oh, and please, obviously, don't go out killing people. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
It's Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, and I have a wonderful guest with me tonight. We are going to talk about something that's coming up in September that they're doing and when they started, and you know, a whole bunch of other good Mujamaju stuff. Pam, Ernest, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. Whenever Jason, the ghost guy, y'all heard of him before. Whenever he told me about this and he shared it and added me to the little comment section, I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to have to look into it. So
we have a good time usually.
Yeah. Well, I was watching the video that y'all did last year. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, in October. And it was some interesting
Forgive the bad. Yeah. That was oh, not well planned to have a live with, but
well,
we
it
did
was
what
raining.
We could.
It was
terrible.
You did good.
Oh my gosh, it poured. It was awful. So we've nixed that problem. From now on, we're going to have it indoors. Not going to have that problem ever again.
Indoors is usually pretty good because knowing my luck, it's going to snow.
Right? Something weird's going to happen every time. We know that for sure, but we're going to at least get rid of the rain this time.
Yes. And it probably will rain. That's my luck, too. go ahead and tell us a little bit about Bordertown Paranormal, and it's in southeastern Kansas.
Yes, in Caney.
Not too far.
We came together as a group in 2012. I worked with a lady, and her husband was interested in the paranormal. His name's Mark. He and I got together and we were like, you know, we should see if anybody else in the area is interested. So we kind of put a call out and said, hey, if you're interested, meet us, you know, on this date. And we just were like, you know, we might have a couple of people show up. There was like 30 plus people showed up. We were blown away, you know, and of course, we were really excited that first meeting. And then the next one, it cut to about half, and then it just kind of dwindled down a little bit more until it came to our core group of four people. And it stayed the four of us for a very long time. We did add one auxiliary member within the last 2 years. But yeah, it's just been now the five of us. And we have a great time. We do a lot of investigation still. Almost everything we do is anonymous though. And in our area, especially because it's a pretty conservative area. It's not a huge topic that people really want to discuss. And so we're kind of what we like to call a flyby area. no one realizes that there's a lot actually going on in this area because nobody talks about it. And we're trying to change that without losing that anonymity for people that don't want it discussed. So we still investigate, we still discuss topics, but we don't go into specifics that can be identifying. We started out as just primarily ghost hunters. We did that for quite a while, probably the first 2 to 3 years. And then we'd always had different interests though too. And it kind of started branching out. We got more into, hey, cryptids, you know, because Bigfoot's really big in our area too. And then that kind of led into the UFO phenomena, you know. And we found ourselves just becoming a group that's got such a varied interest in everything. We're more research oriented at this time. We still do investigations when requested, but probably at least 75% of what we do is research.
Ah, wonderful. Yeah. And you know, I've noticed that here lately, a lot of the Bigfoot stuff is really getting big in Kansas, Oklahoma, especially central Oklahoma. And it's from a lot of people saying they've seen Bigfoot roaming around. Have you guys ever experienced anything?
We actually have, not as a group, but this is actually a personal story of mine.
Awesome.
When I was, I'm aging myself here. I graduated high school in 1987. And that summer of 87, me and three friends worked at a local place overnight, and our lunch break was at midnight. Well, we decided there's an area west of Caney. It's called the Sandhills. And that's where everybody always met out, you know, and had bonfires and stuff. So we were like, we're going to go see who's at the bonfires tonight, you know. So completely sober, and all four of us were in my friend's little Toyota Celica. And when you leave Caney, you go up this over this little dike, and then there's a curve and then a bridge that goes over the Caney River. So we're coming up that, and we're going around the curve. And just as we go over the bridge, we see this thing standing in the middle of the road, and it's enormous. It's huge. And it stops, and it's standing like on the, where the lines in the road are in the middle. And it stops, and it kind of bent down a little bit, and it looked at us. And then it bent down and it jumped, and it didn't take a step. It jumped from the middle of the road over the guardrails. And on the other side of the guardrails, you know, those huge boulders that they place to keep the, the, you know, for floods and things, so the land doesn't wash away, the dirt doesn't wash away. That's what's down there. And just within probably the last 3 years, our group, we went out there to look, you know, right in the area where I saw it. And we measured, it's a good 30-foot drop down the other side of those boulders. So whatever that thing was, jumped from the middle of the road, cleared those boulders, and took off.
Oh, so, wow.
It was crazy. I did draw a picture of it, so I always bring it out. And everybody always made fun of me because it has such a human face, you know?
Right.
And I've always stuck by that. This is what I saw. And of course, you know, I was the best artist at the time. So it's kind of amateurish. But recently, I was looking at a website that Dave Pilates does, the missing 411 guy. And he talks, he has this big site about the Huba Indians up in northwestern area of the country. And he brought in a forensic artist from Oklahoma City to go out there with him to actually get with some of the tribe members that saw this creature or these creatures on a regular basis. And he had them draw pictures, and it gave me chills because one of them looks so much like what I saw and what I drew. It's just, it's crazy. It has very human eyes, and you know, it's of course covered in hair and everything, but it's the eyes are what really jumped out at me. And it was pretty interesting. But we found out probably within the last 5 years that a guy that's, he's probably 6 or 7 years younger than me, him and his sister and some friends were out just south, not even a quarter of a mile, where we saw this thing within the 2 months after we saw the same thing. And we didn't know it just until recently when another team member, Jessica, she put out a call. Hey, if anybody has any Bigfoot stories, tell us. Well, she's friends with this guy. And he was like, "Ooh, I have one for you, but it's from a long time ago." And she's taking this story and she's in her head going, oh my gosh, this is what Pam saw. You know, it has to be. So she tried to nail down a better time frame with him. And that's as close as he could get, was it was right after the summer, you know, coming into the school year. So it was within 2 months when we saw it.
Oh, wow. That is so interesting. But you know, a lot of the drawings kind of depict him having, or her having, like a very humanoid type face. Yes. And very hairy body with very hairy legs and feet. But it's always been so amazing. I have been on the cusp of trying to really put my faith in Bigfoot.
Right.
But then I think about UFOs, and I've personally seen UFOs. And it's like, well, if UFOs and paranormal spirits exist, why? Who's to say that this creature that people have seen for, gosh, as far back as, what, the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s?
Oh, yeah, easily.
I mean, oh my gosh. And a lot of it is the Indian tribes. They talk about this creature as being a creature that you do not want to piss off.
Period. Right. Yeah. We were glad it ran away. I mean, we slammed on the brakes. Shelly and I were in the front seat. She slams on the brakes. She's driving. And she whipped it around and we headed back to town, but we were just shaken up. You know, she and I saw it the best. The two in the back seat kind of, you know, they heard us scream. So they're like trying to see what's going on. But so they saw just a glimpse, but she and I got the front, you know,
frontal.
Yeah. Front seat view, man. It was crazy.
Oh man. I bet that was something exciting.
And it was strange. It was a gray color, you know, it was more gray than it was brown. And for years we called it the Peach Monster. Because her car, it was an old cruddy car and the headlights weren't very good. So we think, you know, they were kind of nasty and we think that the headlights hitting it probably gave it a peachy color. That's why we think it was gray, but yeah, we called it our Peach Monster forever.
Wow. And have you guys gone out to try to find it again or?
We've been out in that area. We do a lot of research in that particular area. For not just that, but for other things as well. It's a highly, highly active area right through there. And we do a lot of different tests, you know, and as well as we can do without being actual, you know, scientists or anything. We do what we can with what we have to try to find some answers or, you know, just, and pretty much all we found is just more questions, you know.
That's always the case. Especially when you go into a rabbit hole.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We're out in the weeds half the time trying to figure out what's going on, you know, before we have to reel it back in. Okay. This is our main focus here.
Right.
But, you know, yeah.
Well, like I haven't researched Caney a lot. And I know it's not far from where I'm at because I'm in the same area that Ghost Guy is at. But is it on a ley line or anywhere in that?
We are right on the 37th parallel.
See, that's
right,
another
smack
thing.
Dab on it. Yes. And we are on, there's a big ley line that comes through our area too. And that's actually some of the things that we've done, especially Jess and I, we've gone out to, with dowsing rods and things to start mapping the area with ley lines.
Oh, nice. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
It's now, a very cool place.
In that same particular area, have y'all seen any kind of UFO sightings or anything?
There are, not personally, but there is a lot of UFO sightings in the area.
I saw one. I'm going to tell you a little story that I had. I had gone to a ballet a couple of years ago in Tulsa. And on the way back, we were on the highway about to hit the 75 cutoff. And we saw in the clouds this blue kind of light. I thought at first it was like maybe one of those spotlights that one of the places is having saying, hey, come here. But there wasn't a tail to go down. It was just a blue light in the clouds. And then it shot straight up. And I was like,
wait a minute.
Is there any blue lights anywhere that way? No, there was no blue lights, and there was no light that could have just shot straight up. It would have kind of done an angle as one of those kind of lights.
Right.
But it's not the first time.
Really?
No. I saw, have you ever heard of the orange lights in Destin, Florida?
I have not.
Okay. I went back to research this because I had heard it on the news quite a few years back. And then when I went back to research it, I can't find it anywhere. And I'm like, really? I've got to be losing my mind. The more I searched, the more I kind of found some stories that were kind of depicting on where it was, but it wasn't saying it was in Destin. Of course, Destin is close to Fort Walton Beach, which is close to Eglin Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And where I had saw it was a small little airport in Destin. And my friend had called me and said, Shauna, you got to come over here. You've got to see this. This is, I've been watching this for an hour. So I go over there and there's this orange bright light in the sky and then it dims. And then another one farther to the right kind of brightens and dims. And then two over here brighten, like they're communicating with each other.
How cool.
And I'm sitting there watching this and I had recorded it on the at the time on my cell phone, which was I'm 44 years old. So this was way back 14, 15 years ago. This happened and I'm recording it on my phone and I'm seeing all this. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are we seeing? And sure enough, for like another hour, it was going off like they were communicating with each other. And we were popping up the news trying to find something going on about it because we couldn't be the only people that seen this.
Right.
Well, I moved to Oklahoma, and I hear it on the news. Orange lights in Panama City and Destin, Florida, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? So it was continuously going on after we had left. So it was crazy. And then I go back to try to find it. Our house was robbed in 2009, and my phone was part of the robbery that happened.
Oh, no.
You know, conspiracy theories. But, yeah.
Right.
Why would they want the crappy phone from 2000 if it was, you know? But, no, it was just amazing.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. And going to the website where they talk about the UFO sightings and everything, mm-hmm. there are some that were dated back there in that time. And it was back in 2007, 2008, around that time frame. But, yeah. And then I saw another one when I was younger. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I saw it in the backyard in Alabama. I thought it was just a twinkling star, and then it just took off. And I was like, I'm going inside now.
Absolutely. Goodness.
But yeah,
we have had some in the area too. So that doesn't surprise me a bit.
No. And it makes me wonder if they kind of go towards like ley lines and stuff. If they're, because I was trying to find out some more on Area 50, where exactly that falls.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gone too much because I'm doing research on everything. I'm a busy person.
Right.
I don't have time to go down the rabbit holes often, but it just kind of seems interesting because you think you see, people see Bigfoot,
right?
Sasquatch, whatever they want to call it. Mm-hmm. And then they see a UFO sighting or it's a UFO sighting and then they see Bigfoot. Does Bigfoot have something to do with UFO sightings?
It makes you wonder.
It does.
It happens. It's pretty often that you see those correlations. See, back in the day, and it's very true of this, excuse me, when we started in 2012, you had your Bigfoot camp, you had your ghost camp, your alien camp, you know, your UFO camp, whatever. And they didn't really get together. They didn't cross lines. They didn't share information. And if you took a story to one of them, oh, well, that was a UFO. Or you take the same story, oh, it had to be Bigfoot, you know, it had to be a ghost or whatever. And now I'm loving it because it seems like everyone has kind of broken out of that finally and are more willing to come together and say, you know what? It seems like all this, and that's one of our favorite things to say, it's all related. Everything's related.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, You do have a belief in Bigfoot. You've seen it with your own eyes. What about pukwudgies and fairies? And
That's funny that you ask because of the group. That is my thing. That is, I am huge on the fae, the djinn, things like that. And I actually have a friend that, again, was out in this same area. And he was a Marine. And when he came back. Yes. When he came back, this was in the 80s. When he came back, he spent a lot of time camping out in that area, in the sandhills, out in the woods and stuff like we call it the woods. It's, you know, it's the Kansas woods. So it's not huge, but you know, it's a grouping of trees basically. Mm-hmm. But he spent a lot of time out there, and he told, one of my friends that when he was out there, he saw little people come out of the woods and he watched them. And he said, had he not been the type of person that would go out there and spend a lot of time by themselves and be peaceful and not harm anything around him, he doesn't feel they ever would have showed themselves to him. And I need to get the story from him. He's actually not in the area right now. So that's my goal. He told me he would tell me, but we just haven't got the time set up to get it told yet. But that would be
interesting. Oh man.
Definitely.
Like, so have you done a lot of research on the Irish fairies?
Yes. Irish, Scottish, that's my heritage. And my family actually goes back to the MacLeods, which was the original owner of the fairy flag, still hangs in the Castle MacLeod in Dunvegan.
Awesome. My husband's so Scottish.
A little bit of a, awesome.
Yep. McSporrans. Cool. I was like, wow.
That's neat. That's on my bucket list. I want to definitely go over there and see it.
That would
be so fun.
Vanessa Hogel and her paranormal partner went over there, and I've watched a couple of things from them. Like a feel, you feel so pulled over there. Mm-hmm. I feel pulled to a lot of the older architectural.
Yes.
I cried when, oh my gosh, my brain just went in the church.
The Notre Dame?
Yes, the Notre Dame. Yes. Whenever it started burning, I was like, but I wanted to go see it. They're like, well, they're rebuilding it. It's like, that's not the same.
Isn't it amazing what they've been finding underneath it, though? Yes. That they wouldn't have found otherwise.
No, I think something was trying to say, hey, I'll need to look deeper. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Not just this whole time in the last 2 years has been so interesting. Like, do you remember seeing anything about what do you call it? It's like a little monument that popped up and then would disappear and pop up in another location.
Oh, yeah. It's like a black obelisk or something that was popping up everywhere. Yeah, I saw that. Did they find out who was doing that, or did they ever?
I've never heard anything else about it. It kind of like went silent.
Yeah. Because that's a huge effort if it's going to be just like a, you know, an art installment that they're going to take down and rebuild somewhere.
Right? That just seems like it's too much time, especially as fast as it was popping up in places. I wonder about the UFO story they came out with last year and if it's all really look over here and don't look over here.
I had forgotten about that till you just said that.
Oh, yeah. I found that very interesting. And
something else to add to the list.
Yeah. Okay. I got to go over here because I got to find out about this. I found it all over the United States. And then all of a sudden it was overseas. And fast. Unless a bunch of people were communicating online and were like, hey, we're going to build it over here and y'all just build it over there. And I don't know. UFOs seem to kind of, or a veil kind of open or something, because who's to say that ghosts aren't another dimension or something, maybe?
That's kind of the theory that we're leaning towards, is that, you know, like the multiverse theory, more than likely that's probably going to end up being proven for a fact. Well, it's been proven, but to actually be shown that that's where some of these things are coming from would not surprise me a bit.
No.
I just hope it's within our time, you know, because I would hate to miss out on all these great discoveries.
Oh, definitely. Especially with all the technology that's coming up and everything.
Yes.
And NASA's, I can't even remember the name of the NASA thing that's past Pluto right now, that's taking pictures of all the
Earth-like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This thing, it starts with a J. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
I can't either. It's Jay something. I want to say Jasper, but I know it's not Jasper. But yeah, it's the one that's taking pictures of the galaxies and the little cliffs in the sky.
It's getting some amazing stuff.
It is, so much so, especially when they found that Earth-like planet that's so many years up. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Is that another world that's like ours? Is that the multiverse that is maybe trying to communicate with us because we're hearing sounds and stuff too in the sky?
Yeah, which is kind of scary when you think about it because, well, number one, Stephen Hawking, he believed that we would be crazy to think we're alone. Oh, yeah. And I agree. You know, we have no idea how big the universe is. We can't be the only, you know, form of life that can communicate like that or travel or whatever. We can't be. There's no way. But my other concern is, what if we're not the most intelligent? And I highly doubt we are.
Oh, I don't think we are. A lot of things here recently has kind of showed me that we're really militant.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But you also got to think, if we were probably a science experiment,
mm-hmm.
like, you know how the aliens kind of all look alike.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of people are trying to look like somebody else that's famous or has a big booty or whatever. And so they're starting to call mesh and look alike. What if we were a science experiment of different kind of looks that they wanted to put on a planet? Be like, okay, maybe since we're all look alike now, let's get them over to a different planet and see if they're going to do the same thing.
Happens. And, well, you know, when you look at, I don't know if you're familiar with the Anunnaki way of thinking, but I can't remember the name of the person. It escapes me, but he came up with it might have been Zachariah Sitchin. Can't remember. But anyway, he talked about the Anunnaki, which he believes came from another world here because either their world was depleted and they were the survivors, or they came here to mine specific types of gold that could help them, you know, whatever. But that they saw a very primitive life form here. And then they messed with our DNA and basically made us a slave race for a while until, you know, they could get what they needed to do what they needed to do. And then we just have kind of moved on from there. And, you know, because there's the theories about, or not really theory, but just the idea out there that people with negative blood, negative, you know, A negative, whatever, have alien DNA. That's where that negativity in their blood comes from and all this stuff. I'm just I don't know about that because I'm A negative and I'm not sure I'm comfortable.
My son's A negative. That's cool. Now I'm going to have to research that.
It's interesting to say the least. And who knows? Normally everything that's out there has some little smidgen of truth in it somewhere. Who knows? It's fun to think about, though. Fun to look into.
Especially when you think about, like, all the hieroglyphics and stuff that you see on the Egyptian tombs of alien spacecraft and the skulls and stuff. Whenever I saw Indiana Jones, the crystal skull, and I saw how it ended, I was like, oh, they're going sci-fi on us. This is cool. Because Egyptians had that. They had it on hieroglyphics in their tomb. EPP will be right back.
This is Aaron Gillow from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Parax Radio.
Hey, this is Shauna. Welcome back. So, they've seen them. Who's to say that they really don't exist? And so many people are saying, oh, you guys are crazy. Well, you know, I'd rather be crazy and be right than be crazy and be wrong.
Well, you know, crystal is the one thing. That's actually one of the things that I was interested in was the crystal skulls, you know, because supposedly there's 13 of them. And if they all come together, you know, then all these things will be known. I don't know if that's how much truth there is in that. But I do know that is the best way to preserve information. And I know that can't remember what country it's in, but they are actually taking everything that they can get their hands on and putting it, imprinting it onto crystal, Because it'll last forever. It's not going anywhere, you know. It's not going to degrade. It's not going to be lost. And that way, if something happens, you know, which could easily happen where we lose our power grids, you know, we lose all of our internet, we lose computers, we lose all of this. Look at everything we're going to lose if that happens. This information will still be there. It'll just be a matter of being able to access it, which, you know, that's the crystal skull theory, is the information's there. We just don't know how to access it.
Yes. Oh, man. You would think by now they would have figured it out. They just don't want to tell anybody.
Right. And they very well could have. Who knows?
I mean, they've deciphered plants being able to cry and scream when being cut into and stuff. So,
and that trees are all connected. You know, they can send necessary nutrients along the line to the trees that need it. And that's amazing to me.
It is. And it makes me so sad to think about. I mean, I listened to that video of the scientist cutting a leaf off on that tree, and I wanted to bawl because it sounded like such a human scream.
What are we doing that we don't even realize we're doing?
Exactly. Yeah,
so mindlessly.
Oh, that's because they don't see or hear it, then mm-hmm. it doesn't exist.
Well, that's another theory when it comes to alien life is if you look at an ant, if you look from an ant's perspective at a highway, an interstate, they really don't see it. You know, they just see the edge of the asphalt. They don't see everything going on. What if that's like it is for us? What if we're basically the ant and we just don't have the ability to see everything that's actually going on, except for every once in a while, a blip of something will go by, you know? Who's to say, you know?
It's an amazing world out there. And
it is. People try to close it. We have no idea.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we only access a very small portion of our brain. Could you imagine if we could access the entire ability of our brain? What else could we see and experience? And do we want to? There might be a very good reason why we don't. Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of that one movie with Black Widow chick. Gosh. Babe, where's the Black Widow chick's name? Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. Thank you. Where she's in this movie and they have these drugs inside of her, and then she fights them and the drugs burst and her brain just opens up, and then she melds. At the very end, she ends up melding into the computer network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see that, you know, their concept of what happens whenever your brain does open up, that kind of aspect, and what your body can do and overcome. But at the same time, it's like, well, if happen, how many people on this earth actually have a portion of their brain that is open? Mm-hmm. Would we know it?
Right, exactly.
Or would they just hide them away so nobody knows at all what's going on? Well, it kind of scares me about the AI.
Yeah,
that they have 100%. Out. Because I'm sitting here thinking, what if that's an actual person's mind that they put into this computer? Mm-hmm. And then you have these crazies, you know, I don't care if they want to go off and have a blow up doll or whatever, but an actual robot, that's robots are going to take away women.
Well, what's terrifying is how long is it going to take AI to surpass our intelligence?
Exactly. You
know? And then what's going to happen when they do?
Exactly. Yeah, they predicted it with Terminator, but it just seems like nobody wants to remember that movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, God. That's what scares me. And my husband and I were talking about that, too. And it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's great concept with some things, like my hearing aids, for instance. They're Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. And they function and do what they need to do for me to be able to hear wherever. But at the same time, that's artificial intelligence is doing all that stuff. And it's going through a network. And what happens if they just kind of fling something in my ear or something? I don't want that to happen. It's a scary concept.
It is. I mean, look at our cell phones, how dependent we are on them now, all of us. And I am 100% just as guilty as everybody else. I'm glued to mine all the time. How easy would it be to manipulate a person through something like that.
Way easier.
And I'm sure they already have. Yeah. I'm sure it's already been done and we're just probably not aware of it.
Have you heard of the mass hallucination that they've talked about? I can't remember the doctor's name. And I can't remember the total name of what it's called, but it's called mass hallucination something. And it's where they pop up so many different news feeds or ads or something that kind of goes towards the person that likes it or is kind of correspondent with it. Because these freaking phones hear everything we say all the time, no matter what.
Yeah, they do.
So the mass hallucination theory is a theory where it pops up stuff that's related to what you're thinking or what you're talking about. So it starts getting into people's head about what's happening and what's going on. And do people actually believe the history? Do people not believe the history? Do people believe in the Holocaust? Do people not believe in the Holocaust? Yes, you want to believe in the Holocaust because of this, or no, you don't want to believe in the Holocaust. And it's like,
that is crazy. It's crazy how easily we can be manipulated, you know?
It is. That's why I always try to tell people, research for yourself. Don't
trust
some stranger you see online.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you had a news feed pop up and it, go research it. Did it really happen? Or is that just something that somebody is spouting off because they want popularity?
Yeah, the onion is not the news.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
You know, something we've talked about too that I think is pretty fascinating is when you think about people and what happens after we die, where do we go? Does our consciousness continue? And we feel like it does because of some experiences that we've had. Is it like a big, huge database, you know, basically in the sky? Are we just are some people more plugged in to that, like psychics and mediums? Are they more plugged in than what regular people are so that they can receive and send those messages, you know? And is that, are we just absorbed into that when we die? You know, it's an interesting thing to think about.
I
hope so. I hope we continue after this.
Me too. And there was a scientist that came out with something. I'll have to look it up and see if I can find it and put it along this thread. There was a scientist that had come upon the conclusion that we are part of the universe and that we do go on after we die. Did you ever see that?
I know there's quite a few of them that feel that way. Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Oh yes. And I'm
Michio
like,
Kaku. I love him. And he is one that feels that way.
It's amazing. Cause they had an experiment where they were, I don't know if you ever saw the mouse where the mouse had died and you saw the little.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It's like
that,
his soul left his body kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
That's interesting.
It is. And they're trying to say animals don't have souls. All you got to do is look at their eyes. It's in their eyes. Right.
The animals I have had in my life, they've had souls for sure. Cause there's no way they couldn't.
No, especially the kindness and the love that they give is just amazing. It's
unconditional.
Oh, yeah.
Even cats, even when they're little jerks, you know, they're still.
Yeah, they still love. That's their love.
They do. They do, for sure. And, you know, I had a great uncle that was an atheist. He was a staunch atheist his entire life.
Mm.
And I was really surprised when he passed away before I was born, but when I was given the family photos and, you know, everything that came down the line, some of his obituary, but the death notice thing, you know, that you get at the funeral, that was in there, and he had written his own, and I need to find it because it was so beautiful how he wrote it. But at the end, what he said on there is like, you guys just love each other because that's all it is. It's all it's about is just love. And he is so right. When I read that, I was like, yes, he got it. You know, even back in the day, he got it. He understood. And I think he was born in the 20s or maybe at least the 20s. Might've been a little bit earlier than that, but yeah, he got it back then.
Oh.
And I 100% agree with him.
Oh yeah. You see a difference, especially mm-hmm. in groups and people where you see kindness and caring. And then you see the group of people that have the lack of empathy, that don't care, that are selfish.
Yes.
Pretty much mass narcissism. And mm-hmm. you see the two groups and you see how this one is prospering over this one. And this one just wants to do everything they can to parade down. And it's like, well, you know, the more they do that, the more people like us come together and want to make a bigger group and want to right. work together with other people and help and do things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot of the paranormal community. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say, oh, there's no para-unity. There's no para-unity. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100%. I think there's unity within the paranormal, especially, you know, like we're getting ready to have this Paracon. We've had a few in the past. Last year was a mini one, you know. We've had a few get-togethers before that, but that's what the purpose of this is. We're not charging entry fees for people to come and, you know, pay money to sit there and listen and ask questions. What we want to do is get these groups together, and we've got quite a few now that are coming, and just share ideas and network and get to know each other and get to be more of a big, huge family. And, you know, we've got people coming from Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma. And we're just so excited because there's so many of them. We know, you know, maybe kind of touched here and there, just a question here and there or whatever, but we're actually going to get to be in the same room now. And so, you know, we're promoting the heck out of it because we want people to come and understand some of this. But at the same time, it's not a moneymaker for us. We're bleeding money right now, basically, you know, trying to put it on. So this will probably be the only year that it's free if we do invite the public anymore. But yeah, it's just, we hope that if people do come to watch, they get to ask some really good questions and hear some information and see that we're not all weirdos, you know, and we're normal people. We just have these theories and ideas and thoughts and things that we want to share and bounce off of other people and just, yeah. Bring that unity together because we need it in our area. It hasn't been there.
No, I've noticed that too. Whenever I first started, because I started Geeks back in 2012.
Really?
And yes, I started.
There's a lot of groups that started in 2012. It's really funny.
It is, and it kind of makes you wonder what the hell was going on in 2012.
Other than the Mayan calendar ending, that's the only thing I can think of. You know, that
probably
was
what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, a new cycle started. So maybe that's yeah. what the cycle was all of this.
But yeah, when we first started, it seems like there was nothing but competition.
Right.
And I mean, there's a lot of them out there now that are still nothing but competition. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be the biggest star on television? And to me, it's about being a star. It's about proving what you found, your experiences, yes. and helping those mm-hmm. that actually need the help, that think they're crazy when they're really not crazy. There's actually right. something going on. But
and yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, a lot of times when we do get called out on investigations, I'm going to say probably 95% we can debunk. Yeah. You know, we can say we had one that always jumps to my mind. The first, we had this really nice lady. She had two little kids. The kids were terrified. She was scared. You know, they were seeing things, they were hearing things, and they didn't know what to do. So they called us in and we took our equipment in, did our baseline readings. First thing we noticed, they had an older fridge and it was pumping EMF like crazy. And when we went into the kids' room, their bunk bed was against the wall. Here's the fridge, here's the bunk beds. They yeah, were just boys, against. Yeah. That's why the kids were, you know, hallucinating, basically. Mm-hmm. They were hearing things. They were seeing things. They were feeling things. And so we were like, okay, we've got just right off the bat before we do anything else, we need to move your beds. We need to get the kids' beds moved. And, you know, we need to get it away from the fridge. And then when you are able to, you need to replace your fridge because it's not good. And if nothing else, it's just killing your electric bill, you know? And she was like, okay. So she went and talked to her dad and we got the kids' beds moved for her. She talked to her dad and her dad actually went and bought her a new fridge and it ended. The children's problems ended just like right then. Yeah. But, you know, she had some other things going on that we helped her with too. But those were the big things, you know, just the ability to give them instant relief. You know,
yes.
I just... she knew what it was, you know. Mm-hmm. Was it all paranormal? No. Did she have some paranormal? Yeah, she did, but mm-hmm. not dangerous, not scary, you know, not anything like what was actually truly happening.
Right. Oh, and see, that's what I love about like your group, for instance, and other paranormal groups that actually go in and debunk mm-hmm. instead of going in right off the bat, trying to find something that's going to be paranormal. The biggest right. thing to do is debunk first, try to find what is causing the problem mm-hmm. and then go. That's why I try to call us more para investigators instead of ghost hunters. Because right. we do investigate the situation. You guys go in, investigate, see what's going on, see what the problem is, and then go from there.
Yes.
Because once you do dwindle that down, you'd be able to confirm, hey, yeah, I'm sorry. It's not anything paranormal. It's just this, this, and this. And since you've done it for a while, you know exactly, okay, this is more than likely what's causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get it out, you'll be fine.
And we don't, there's cases where we can one and done, you know, mm-hmm. we're there. Okay. We figured it out. And we've made a couple of them mad, you know, figuring it out, especially if they're like a bed and breakfast and they're like, basically we want a ghost. We want somebody to back us up. And you go in and you're like, you have a gas leak, you know, and one did, and I had a pretty good one. And so, you know, we helped them, and that was the only issue we could find in their whole house, but they weren't happy with us, but you know, we saved their house from blowing up. So
yeah,
there's that.
It was just amazing. Cause you know, they wanted just to price up the room so they can,
they did. And you know, everybody's, you can't blame somebody for wanting to make a buck, but if it's not there, we're not going to make it up.
Right.
You know? We're going to be honest about it.
That's another thing. Integrity. You got mm-hmm. to have integrity in this field.
100%.
If you don't, that's it. You're done.
And, you know, that's something that we have experienced having done it for this period of time. When we first started, you know, nobody asked us to really investigate anything right in our area. Mm-hmm. But the further we've gone, they've seen that we actually do keep our mouths shut. We don't mm-hmm. go out and blab all their business to everybody. Wow. We don't say names. We don't say addresses, you know, anything like that. And the longer we've gone and they realize that, the more trust we've gotten from the community. Mm-hmm. And in turn, we get more interesting cases. We get not just ghosts. We hear other really cool stories. And yeah, it's been a fun ride. We're really enjoying it.
Historical. Now, when did you start the Paracon? You said it's gone on for a few.
Yeah. To actually call it a Paracon, it started last year as a Paracon. We had a mini Paracon. We've had a few gatherings before that, where it was just a small amount of people. This year, we moved it to the Caney Rec Center. We've been holding it at the library in Caney. We moved it to the Caney Rec Center and just rented a room in there. She's like, I'm going to put a call out for people, you know, to see if they want to come be on some panels. She sent it out. By the end of that day, she shows up, and I work at the library. She shows up there in a panic. We're not going to have enough room. We've got to do something else, you know? So we were like, okay, let's just bite the bullet and rent the entire building for the day, which has got a huge gymnasium and everything with it. So we're going to hold it in the gym. And the original room that we were going to hold the whole Paracon in is going to be the green room for the panelists. So yeah, it went from 0 to 100 just within a day. We're really excited about some of the people that we have coming. We've got, let me actually have my list here so people forget the names. We've got like Darren and Jill Thompson. They're with Whisper, which they just moved to Ottawa, Kansas. And they were actually, and still are, the head of a group out in Washington State. And they're part of the Taps family. And he's actually, you know, he's an engineer. He's a retired engineer.
Oh, nice.
So he's all about the equipment and how to use it the correct way. Nice. So he's going to do a whole panel on equipment and, you know, what to do with it. We'll have other people on there too, but that'll be exciting right there. Just learning how to use the stuff accurately, you know,
and how it functions.
Yes. We've got the group Ghost out of Tulsa. We'll have some people there from that. Christy Campbell. She is a medium that lives in Tulsa. She's a good friend, love her to death. She's fantastic. First time I met her, she walked in my door and was like, "Do you know you have two ghosts in your house?" And I was like, "Well, yes, I do. How did you know that?" So yeah, she's a really cool person. Lisa Martin will be there from Dark Ozarks in Joplin, Carthage area. She's also part of another group. Oh, she's going to kill me. The name's escaping me. I'll think of it here in a minute. Paranormal Science Lab. That's what it's called.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's Lisa Martin. Yeah, she'll be there. She's also an author. She has quite a few books written out now. Joshua Heston, he's with Dark Ozarks with Lisa, but he's also State of the Ozarks editor, and he's an author as well. He's out of Heston, Missouri. And Brian Terrell, he's from Red Dirt Cryptids. He's up in, I think Brian's in Enid, but part of the group is he's got connections in Kansas too with Kansas stuff. We have geeks on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Flint Hills Paranormal will be there. Trip from Pea Ridge, Arkansas will be there. Opus out of Oklahoma City. That's Clint Hancock and his group. Lindsay Miles is a medium, and she also reads tarot. And she's out of Oklahoma City, and she's going to be doing the tarot readings there at the Paracon. Lindsay Miles, yeah, that's her. And then What If Tomorrow podcast will be there too, which there, that's Mark. He's part of our group. Mark is. Mm. And then his buddy, Phil, they've had this podcast going for a while. And now they've kind of broke it off into two separate parts. And part of it is What If Tomorrow on the Fringe. And so Jess and I have been co-hosting with them, guest hosting with them.
Fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Our last one we just did Wednesday night was on the gin. And it was really interesting. It's a good one. Absolutely. What else we got going on? Two guys in a PA, they're going to be there, and they're going to be handling all the sounds and all the mics, and then they'll be playing music in between for us. So yeah, we got a lot going on.
Yes.
Now, panel wise, we're going to do local lore and legends of the four states. We are going to do hauntings, ghosts, and things that go bump in the night, equipment exhibit and proper use, UFO, UAP, and aliens. And then we're going to have it finished off with cryptids and Bigfoot. And then after that, we actually have a couple of drawings we're going to do for ghost hunting equipment. And I think Christy's going to put up some readings, a couple of readings to do that. And yeah,
that should be fun. Yes, yeah, definitely. I am totally excited. The more I started researching and looking into it, because he was like, "Are you going to go?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm going."
Awesome. We're excited to be there.
Oh, I am so excited, and my girls are excited too. There's cool. only I we're like you guys. We started with like 13 and mm-hmm. it dwindled down to like 6, and we had 5, and then now it's just 3. And it's me and another lady that has been the original team, and then our sensitive has been with us for 4 and a half years now. Yes, so awesome. it's a tight-knit group of just us three ladies, and we've learned in the past that you've really gotta look into the
you do,
because there's a lot of people that want to do it for the fun of just investigation, but they don't want to put the work in mm-hmm. to do the research on it or the reviewing of it. And
right.
I can't do all this by myself.
Exactly. Yeah. We've gotten really lucky. The original four from us, there's Mark Bannon and I, we're co-founders of it. Mark's we call him our rock. He can't sense anything hardly ever. If he does, then it's bad, you know? And that's only happened twice that I can recall in the whole time we've been together. And then there's Jess. She's number one research. Oh my gosh. She is the best on research. And, she's investigates and, you know, she's really good at all of this. And then, we've also got, Mike Coy, which, he is our big ghost hunting dude. He is the one that is all on top of the ghost hunting, which is excellent because he keeps us up to date on everything that's going on. And, you know, he's not as big a researcher. He's more of a finder of things and finder of places, which is amazing. He does such a great job at that. So we all bring something different to the table. So even awesome. Though we're a small group, you know, we really play well with each other, basically.
Yes. And that's the key, really. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be in a group, it's got to be like a family.
Yes. And then our latest, our auxiliary member, Jennifer, she comes in and she's huge on research. That's like her favorite thing. She loves history. You know, she loves research and has a very open mind. So she is 100% gung-ho, ready to go all the time, not scared, you know. If you go into something then and you're going to run before you do anything, you know.
What's the point?
What's the point? And she's not. She's been very good, you know, to stand. Oh, but yeah.
We have
a good time. Well, I know we have decided from now on we are going to do it the fourth Saturday of September. So regardless of what the actual date is, it'll always be the fourth Saturday.
Oh, see, that's awesome because a lot of people just want to do everything in October. And while that's awesome and fun, you can't make all the conventions.
Mm-mm.
No way.
You just can't.
So you guys are seem to be on the right track of getting the convention thing going. So go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
Oh, I was going to say, go ahead and let us know the details of this convention, where exactly it's, and if there's a website, how they can get a hold of you guys.
We do have a Facebook page. It's SEK Bordertown Paranormal. You can reach us through Facebook. We have a website. It's bordertownparanormal.com. And the actual Paracon is going to be held at the Caney Rec Center, which is, I can't remember the exact address, but it is on Highway 75 in Caney, Kansas, right next door to Pizza Hut. So, yeah, which will really help us out. We've got a few eateries in Caney, so... we are going to open the doors to the public at 9:30 and it will run until 6:30. What else? We're not providing food, but we do have, we're going to give itineraries that we'll have the list of everywhere in town. You can go to get something to eat. Trying to think of, am I missing anything? But if they want, they can go to our website and pre-register for the Paracon. There's links on, there's an event set up on our Facebook page and it's got the link to go to register if they'd like to do that. You don't have to, we're not requiring it, but honestly, we don't know how many people are going to show up and there's only so many people that will fit in this building. So we may have 50 people show up. We may have 500, who knows? We don't know at all. So if you want to make sure you have a spot, you do need to pre-register. But again, you can, you know, if you make it there in time and you can just come in the door that way too. But
awesome. Well, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, can they get in touch with you through the websites or
is that good? Absolutely, yes. Or go to our Facebook page and you can message us there. There's contact page on the website too. So either way they want to get a hold of us, we would love it. Love to hear from people, love to network. So absolutely.
Well, I cannot wait to meet you in person in just a month almost. I spent a month away. Are you ready?
I know. Now I'm going to freak out because we're running out of time here.
Oh, I know. It's going by so fast this year.
It is.
Crazy. But thank you so much for being on my show and for giving me time. I really appreciate
absolutely.
You have yourself a wonderful weekend. Rest of your
you
weekend.
Too. It's great to meet you. You said, I can't wait to meet you in person.
It's gonna be fun.
Absolutely. It's gonna be a blast for sure.
You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.